Welcome to the Shulamite Podcast, an extension of Shulamite Ministries and Shulamite.com, with weekly interviews and teaching with author and speaker Martha Kilpatrick and hosted by John Enslow. This weekly podcast is a way to stay connected to the ministry. So come experience anointed messages, not giving just another method, but a living impartation.
My husband used to say that the best government is a benevolent dictator. The problem is you can't find a benevolent dictator. God is called the potentate, the absolute sovereign king. But he is, the kingdom is a dictatorship, and we have to get used to that. To qualify to be in that kingdom, you have to come under the laws of the king. And I don't mean the laws of Moses, the spiritual laws of the Son of God, the ways, the truth, and the life of the Son of God. So it's your adventure. It's my adventure. It's my mystery unfolding. It's your mystery. What is he doing with you? If you cooperate with him, you'll get there and you'll become what you never dreamed. And you, what you don't even know now. When we see him, we will know him as he is and we will be like him. That's the promise. So
we're given the privilege of it, and that's why I wrote in a post today that we are given the privilege of participation. And I know that this is a kind of contested topic and subject, but the fact still remains that this is, I am being set up to reign and rule with Christ. And how he's doing that is not just hoping that I make it. No, he's wanting to live it through me. He's wanting to reign and rule currently through me, in my life, in my generation, and in my situation. And that's my privilege of participation
and responsibility.
It is
a calling.
It's absolutely.
And privilege. You're calling it a privilege.
It is a privilege, but it's not a total responsibility.
Yeah. And you don't want to miss it.
No.
Because everything is aligned in place miraculously for you above and beyond anything we could imagine. There is every provision, including the fact that Christ will accomplish in you what he wants to accomplish. And all we have to do is give ourselves into his hands. It's the easiest Christian life there could be, even though there's great suffering. I'm about to write. Pretty soon we're going to be able to have a week away and write. And I'm going to be writing about the process of Joseph, for one. Because it tells you that all the secrets to ruling and reigning are in the Bible, in picture form, in every form, parable form, stories. It's all there. If you have your eye on the throne, then you see things in a completely different light. It changes your entire world view. You see everything in terms of the king and the kingdom. And our process of becoming ready for such a destiny as that.
Was it Joan that said it, or where did we hear it the other day that Joseph was not even recognizable by his brothers because he had become so Egyptian?
I was listening to a podcast or sermon by Lance Wallnau, and he said that. He said, we don't really realize that Joseph had been so taken completely from his family and trained in Egypt. He not only had the wisdom of all that training, but he dressed like an Egyptian. He had the look of an Egyptian. He did not dress like an Israelite any longer because he had been taken from that. And I think it's so interesting because it's seeing that the government must come to us, and Joseph received the government of God personally. And to me, the kingdom is the government of God. And therefore, he was able to extend it over Egypt because he had come under it so personally through the acceptance of God's sovereign training of him for his life.
That's fabulous. That's great, John. But you can see the school for the kingdom, for ruling and reigning. You can see the school in Joseph's life. How many people are rejected by their own family? How many are scorned for their calling? He told the brothers his dream, and in exchange for that confidence that he shared with them, where the sheaves fell down before him, they took him out, sold him into slavery, and considered that he would die in Egypt, and lied to the father that he had been taken by animals. So there are going to be many, many terrible trials in life for us to overcome. And everyone can be beaten. And he is there as the coach to teach you, to guide you, to arrange everything so that... And you can only see this looking back. I have 50 years now and more that I can look back. And I can tell you it's possible to go through a life situation of some suffering, sometimes great suffering, and become an overcomer in every situation, including your worst enemy. And that is a life of adventure, of challenge, of process, and the stretching of painful progress.
Well, one of the things that I saw that podcast or whatever it was, and one of the things that really kind of struck me is he said that what if God had answered Joseph's prayer to get out of prison and to make the baker or the cupbearer, whether he could make the cupbearer or the baker go and get him out of prison, if he had had his way, he would have gotten out of prison, he would have left and went back home to his miserable situation, and he would have thwarted his purpose. His purpose was to bring salvation and provision and...
For the famine.
For the famine that was coming, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so if he had escaped and he had thwarted the plan, he would have thwarted the actual purpose that he was set in place for. And that would have been horrible. And I thought, oh my gosh, how many times have we prayed, okay, please God, just get me out of this situation, mm-hmm. when he's literally training us for something so much higher. Mm-hmm. And that's why the whole insular, isolated church is irrelevant. Because you're basically, you're trying to skirt out, okay, just don't make it hurt.
Right. Don't make it hard and don't let me hurt. And I will, if you don't do it, God, I'll find it myself.
Right. And don't make me dirty. I don't want to get dirty by the world. But God's saying, I want you to go and reign and rule. I'm training you. It's the whole purpose. Yeah, we are a bride. And that's, we're Christ's bride, which is absolutely the truth. But we're going to reign as king and queen. Mm-hmm. And this is as a guy talking, you know, I mean, I'm not the king in this situation. I'm a part of the queen. I'm a part of the bride. And that, yes, but it's a co-reigning. He wants us to co-reign. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about the love affair. That's a huge part of it,
right?
But that's not the whole thing. He, you know, the militant bride, some part of that kind of creeps me out a little bit, but a reigning, co-reigning bride, I have no problem with that one. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful process, but it's a work.
Yeah. And when I write the book on this part, I'm going to present Joseph's life. And I'm going to say, this is not for the faint-hearted.
No.
If you will get in it for the whole race, not knowing where you're going to end up, not knowing what you're going to go through, if you will put your eyes on the end, a runner always looks at the end. Anybody with a goal looks at the goal, the end of the goal. Otherwise, you won't make it. But everything is provided, and when you get weary in the race, God will see to it. He lays you down in green pastures. There is absolutely no excuse for missing this fascinating school we're in, and we're in it. Every believer, every born-again believer is in this school. There's no favoritism. It's open. This adventure, this possibility is open to all. And everything is arranged. You are carried. You may not see it at the time. Only looking back do you see. David did that all the time. He would write about his terrible situation, and then he'd come to the end of it. Looking back, he could praise God. So we are born wired for this adventure of being transformed into the image of Christ and being trained, schooled, experienced in what it means to rule and reign. And I'll tell you this: what the secret is. The one who reigns is the one who is the greatest, lowest servant.
Yeah, totally.
That's the thing he will want to form in all of us. When Abraham's servant was sent out to find a bride, what he looked for, he prayed to God and said, "Show me at the well if a woman volunteers to water my 20 camels with some 200 jugs of water, then I'll know she's the one." And sure enough, Rachel came and offered freely to feed his camels. Had no concept of what it would mean to her life. That's how it's going to work. That's the classic story to me. And God sends out the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is searching for one who has the heart of a servant or who's willing to be formed into a servant. So that I'm giving away some secrets, but there are many more to savor.
That's beautiful.
And like I say, especially these last couple of years, I know that everything I have passed through, some of the most difficult years of my life ever in different arenas of suffering, but he has brought me in each situation to see exactly what is required of the bridal disposition. Mm-hmm. And one of them lately is, there is no question but what is your will, God?
Yeah.
That's the only question you need the answer to, the only question you need to ask. And he will take everything away from you that will hinder you from your destiny. And you might cry, and you might look as it's leaving your your life and say, "Oh, well." But God always produces and gives you more than you gave away. And there is so much provision given the unsearchable riches of Christ. How will we ever, ever even begin to access all that he has put in place for us to run this race?
Well, the word constantly, over and over and over, reemphasizes this true story and the true purpose. So yeah, you do have Joseph and everything, and Esther, and all these people are just types and shadows, so to speak, of the ultimate story. They're all pointing and saying, this is part of the preparation. This is how it's going to work. Mm-hmm. This is what is happening. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful.
And even Jesus himself, we don't really think of it, but he had 30 years of preparation for 3 years of ministry. And the 30 years were spent in a carpentry shop where he made coffins and built other things and just lived among a very large family with all the, I can say, carrying on that goes on with that. And he lived a very ordinary, mundane life to be prepared to go out. Mm-hmm. And for the ministry God had for him, Moses, we know 40 years, but we don't really think of Jesus as 30 years because he was a young man, but all of that was his preparation and training. Mm-hmm. For what God called him to do on the earth.
Mm-hmm. We hope you've enjoyed the Shulamite podcast. For all the latest from Shulamite Ministries, please visit us at shulamite.com, where you'll find Martha's daily devotions, posts from getalongwithgod.com, and the online library of all of Martha's writings. At shulamite.com, downloading the free Shulamite app is easy, and livingchristianbooks.com is only a click away. Thank you for joining us on this journey to discover a God worth knowing.